Where you bet the Preakness on Saturday will make a difference in your bankroll. Our team recommends you upgrade to Naira Bets this weekend, where you can earn bonuses galore on Saturday. First, hit the Exacta in the Preakness and get a 10% winner's bonus. Secondly, play the late pick 4 at Pimlico and hit and split 3 million points. That's 3,000 cash value. Lastly, new members can sign up for Naira Bets with promo code MONEY and get a $200 new member bonus. Get your $200 new member bonus today at NairaBets.com. That's NYRABets.com. Promo code MONEY.
Here I am, in the city, with a fistful of dollars. And baby, you better believe
I'm back, back in the New York. I'm back in the New York.
Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Late Pick 5 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you to talk about the racing on Preakness Day 2019. That is Saturday, May 18th. As we record this, it is Thursday, May 16th, and I'm in a different location. The Brooklyn Bunker has been abandoned, trying out something new. I'm coming to you from the Brooklyn Podcasting Studio, an actual pro recording studio that you can pretty much throw a rock from my house and find. So that's pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to doing the show here, doing the regular In the Money Players podcast, also from this location today. So you'll probably hear this spiel twice if you're listening to both shows. Very happy to be joined by my usual co-host. Disappointingly, he is not in Baltimore for the Preakness. He is, however, on the planet Texas. We're talking about the People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
I don't know what's going on. I've never been asked more in my, I don't know, whatever, 10 years of 12 years, whatever it is, following racing, like if I'm at the Preakness or if I'm in Baltimore. So it's making me kind of feel like I'm missing something. I've been trying to steer clear of Twitter and seeing all the fun people eating delicious food and the weather looks wonderful. And so a little bit bummed out, but it's all right because they're going to be running in a circle here today, tomorrow, the next day. So that always makes me happy.
Well, this is what happens when you have friends and partners with a horse in the Preakness itself, JK. And we will have as a guest on the other show, Marshall Graham, to talk about Warrior's Charge and the rest. But on this show, we've got a very special guest. And this is a guy I owe a favor to because with you nowhere to be found at Arlington last weekend, I needed a new personal handicapper. And none other than NHC champion Scott Coles filled that role. And we took down the pick 6. There's a little bit of a wrinkle to the story. I'll let him tell that part. Welcome to the In the Money airwaves, Scott Coles. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's great to be back. And yeah, let's just keep it as we took down the pick 6.
There are some words we could add to the end of that sentence. JK, can you guess what they are?
No, I'm going blank on it.
We took down the pick 6, but
we lost money.
There you have it, folks. But it was still,
however,
oh, you go ahead.
We were alive. Two horses that ran second probably both would have got us that jackpot. And it turns out that we were, the carryover is 1900. The jackpot was 2500 and we were 180 of it. So you figure out, I don't know if it was a 1000% takeout or if no one was playing, but
it was,
we found the horse that won that didn't pay anything.
It was a little bit silly. We were treated, though, to some proper wise guy activity when our friend Matt Miller showed how to sweep a jackpot, taking down the carryover jackpot in the Super High 5 to end the day. So at least somebody got it right.
He did, and he was playing against our top pick. So, I mean, that was pretty impressive. He took it all.
Good stuff from Matt, and wonderful dinner out after. I had so much fun in Chicago. I'm actually gearing to get back for Arlington, not Arlington Million Day, but the preview day. Do they call it Stars and Stripes? Where, Scott, you'll be receiving an award again, as I understand it.
I will. I believe I'm supposed to bring the trophy back, just like the Invitational, and pretend that I've never seen it. And
how many Eclipse awards?
This one.
How many Eclipse Awards are we going to give this guy?
I don't know. I was really hoping they would come with a new trophy or something. I thought maybe I was getting multiple, but it'll be fun because I'll be able to have a lot of friends and family that live in the area able to come out that day. It's a Saturday. Hopefully we'll finally get some sun in Illinois, and it should be a good day. So it'd be great whoever can make it out there.
I was fortunate enough to be at Saratoga when Paul Matisse received his Eclipse Award. The backyard came to the front side for that one. It was a lot of fun to watch.
That's a great picture you can find on Paul's Twitter still of him looking very regal in his purple for his NHC crowning. I don't know, you got a special outfit planned, Scott?
Man, I never even had to get a crazy outfit until the Derby, so I'll see if I can come up with one more, or else maybe there's not enough pictures of it. Maybe I can repeat.
You're gonna have on the Cubs hat. There's no
purple
doubt.
Cup. Maybe a purple Cubs hat. Do they make those? I don't know.
Well, my friends were joking that I need to find a Cubs fedora.
I like that idea.
Just to keep my brand, you know.
Got to keep it on brand. I did wear the fedora to the Cub game the other day. I didn't think to emblazon it with the logo. That probably would have been the hipper move. I want to ask.
That would have. You'd have been on TV.
That's a good point. I missed my opportunity. It could be like Jonathan Kinchin being on TV all the time. But
there you go.
Before we get started looking at these races, Scott, I just wanted to ask you how things have been going. Sometimes these big victories we see in contests propel players to sort of another level where the good luck keeps rolling. In other instances, sometimes it can hitting that big can lead to a bit of a cold spell, maybe some overconfidence. How has it been for you in your months playing since your big NHC win?
I haven't played in as many tournaments as I had hoped. I mean, there'll be more coming up this summer. I've just been kind of letting things settle. In that Hawthorne Invitational, I mean, I had myself in a great spot, and I think JK and I had a similar plan all day, and you know, our horse just got choked to death, and but that's where I wanted to be. I got everything alive. I think I had $2,900. I bet it all in hidden throw bets, and so I mean, I wasn't upset with the way I played. It's just that race is, or that contest only really rewards being right in the last race and kind of getting there with as much money as you can, because that's the only race you can go all in on.
Right.
So circumstances, I mean, I played fine throughout the day, executed the game plan I wanted. I just had the wrong opinion in the end, and then came back in the Derby. And I mean, I bet a lot of money, had a decent day and was alive to a lot, to what I, again, where I wanted to be, to improbable. I was just, you know, I was wrong. But Jonathan and I had a similar plan, I think, because we talked at the Derby and got to hang out a little bit, do some camera stuff. That was really cool. Got to some VIP access to his way of living in his turf club. I don't even know where we were at, but I was just trying to find everything. And, but we both successfully and definitively faded Maximum Security. He wasn't going to win, and we knew it. So.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I come back 1 week later, and I hit a pick six for, you know, $120. So, I mean, I think I'm making new heights every weekend.
Well, I love the fact that buried in yourself effacing comments is an important lesson. And I just saw somebody send this out on Twitter from the poker world, talking about one of our recurring themes on the In the Money shows, which is the difference between focusing on decisions and focusing on outcomes. As long as you're making the right decisions, in the long run, you're going to be okay. There's going to be all kinds of outcomes that go wrong. If you focus on those and think, oh, I didn't get the outcome I wanted, therefore I was wrong. No. You got to back it up. You got to look at the decision-making process and evaluate from there. And that's the key. And I would venture to say, not just in poker, not just in betting, but honestly, in life in general, JK, do you think that's taking it too far?
Absolutely. No, you almost caught me with a Starburst jelly bean in my mouth. But I cleared it up. On our other show, we talked about a friend of mine from college who's recently reached back out and wanted to kind of get into horse racing. And he's probably played in, I don't know, 15 head-to-heads online since our first conversation. He loves it. And I keep trying to explain to him that this game is a different gambling game than you might be used to with sports and other things. You just have to continuously make sure that your money is in right. You're making wagers that present value, and you have to accept the fact that you're going to lose in terms of your actual wagers. You're going to miss more than you are right. But when you're right, you have the opportunity to pay for all those other times and even more. And so that's the hardest thing, I think, for horse players is letting go of the fact that you're not going to win every race. And if you're playing wagers in which you have a great opportunity to win every race, you're probably overbetting, using too many horses, spreading too much, things like that. So I completely agree with that tweet you mentioned about just kind of making sure your money's in the right place and not being so result oriented and look at more of the big picture.
Mike Maloney in Betting with an Edge has a great line about passing winners. A lot of horse players get almost fearful about the concept of passing winners. And I certainly fall into this category in my own play, wanting to have the winner and whatever emotional value that provides. However, if, as he points out in the book, if you're not passing winners, you're playing way too many races. And I think that's part and parcel of what you're talking about too, JK. All right, we got to move on and talk about the races. It would be fun to just shoot the breeze here for the remainder of the show, but we've got a busy schedule today. So we've only actually got, this actually isn't going to work. We'll do the best we can. In theory, we have 20 minutes to go over the late pick four from Pimlico on Saturday. And then we were going to let Scott jump, and JK, you and I were going to quickly go through the Naira Betts late pick five on Saturday. We'll keep it as succinct as we can, and we won't worry too much about the time frame. We'll come up with another plan on the fly, production meeting in the middle of the show style. But we're going to start off at Pimlico on Saturday talking about race 10, the Gallarette. And Scott, we're going to start with you.
All right. I was telling JK a little bit ago that my virtual stable came in hot here. I have three morning line favorites in the pick four, so I apologize. But, you know, I treat them like my own horses. So Inflexibility, I've had that horse in my stable for a long time. I just really like her. A little bit scared about how she ended the year, but the latest thing I read from Chad Brown was that she was doing well. And you can look at every horse that she was losing to last year, and they were all in the Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf, pretty much. I mean, it was just a ridiculous lineup she was facing, topped off by Sister Charlie. I mean, I think that her class and, you know, her ability, if she's back to normal or how she was in the, you know, in the middle of the summer last year, I think she's just the best horse. I am very also interested in Mitchell Road as the new up-and-coming horse. I like four-year-olds that keep showing improvement. Showed a new element last race, didn't wire the field, was able to sit behind a little bit, and beat Beau Recall, who just came back to win on Derby Day pretty impressively and knocked me out in the first race in the pick six. So the other horse that I looked at, I'm So Fancy. I was hoping you guys could tell me more about that horse. I know nothing about I'm So Fancy. I'm not great with the overseas situation, and I know you guys are a little bit more in tune with that world, and especially you, Pete, being over there as often as you are. I'm hoping that maybe you can tell me something about I'm So Fancy, but for me, it's Inflexibility of Mitchell Road, and I'll be using a couple others as these.
Before we get JK's thought and talk a minute about I'm So Fancy, I did want to have you clarify a little bit when you talk about the virtual stable and what that is for people who might not know and might want to get in on that concept, because I think it's also an important part of being a successful horse player.
Sure. So right now I'm moving him kind of to Equibase. I had done it with TVG for a long time, but there's a lot of different sites that you can do it on, and basically you're just starting your own stable, so you can add horses to it, and then you'll get notified based on, there's a bunch of different options, but you can get notified when they run, when they work out, and you can just have them all sent to your email. But you can just keep an eye and kind of group together horses, you know, that you don't have real ownership on, but it's kind of cool to have your own stable of horses and then save trip notes along with those horses, or else you'll forget. Cause the one time I had so many horses and I couldn't even remember why I was putting some of them in. So it is important to have notes as to why you have some of them in yours. Cause it could be, you know, they could be claiming horses if you thought they were going to be a great betting opportunity the next time out, and because they got a tough trip or for whatever reason. But there's also a bunch of top horses that I have that I never miss when they're entered in case I'm not paying attention, just so I can bet those horses back and kind of keep an eye on all of them. So it just happens to be the three of my, I don't know, 20 horses I have in my current Equibase stable are all running in this pick four. So it'll be interesting.
All right, really quick on I'm So Fancy before we get JK's thought. The form certainly fits this spot. I mean, we're talking about legit Group 1 form, comes out of a terrific operation over there, transferring to a great operation here in the Delacour barn. My concern is with this layoff, knowing this is kind of a home game and it feels a little sharp, maybe the mile and a 16th, maybe this is a leg stretcher. That's a little bit my read. Market action might be telling on this one, but I think you can probably save or even stand against a little bit here. The class may tell, so you know, you have to deal with that aspect of it, but my gut is to say this is one for down the line. JK, a quick thought on this. I say we have to move fast and then I ask extra questions and go on about I'm So Fancy, so we'll pick up the pace with you.
I'm actually in the process of doing a write-up right now about this race and this pick four in general. I'm going to single a horse here, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of what you mentioned earlier about that Mike Maloney said about you have to be willing to pass on winners. I'm So Fancy can win, Inflexibility can win, Mitchell Road can win, Viva Vegas can win, but I'm going to single a Barca on the outside with Ired Ortiz and Chad Brown. The horses, we've seen this before, right? This grade one French horses that come over for Chad and turn into world beaters, ask Sister Charlie, and then even recently Homerique. And when I talk about Homerique, the reason that Barca was in my stable mail is because she worked with Homerique. And in my opinion, which might not be the greatest when it comes to looking at workouts, Barca was right there with her, if not better than Homerique, when they were down in Florida working on the grass. I think she's going to be a little bit of value here. They bet her last time in her first race in the U.S., I'm going to try to spice up this pick four with a single A horse in Barca. I'll have some saver tickets on the other ones I mentioned, but Barca for me here.
The guy does one breeding and sales podcast, Scott, and all of a sudden now he's an expert on workouts. I'm kidding. It's a good point, and it's an interesting horse to throw in who I was originally leaning against. But your confidence will make me go back and have a think on that one for sure. All right, let's move on to the Chick Lang, which goes as raced 11. The pace looked fast here, and I thought Pyron would get a great trip, an improving-looking type. JK, how do you see it?
Yeah, Pyron's my top pick. Look, I think that these races are usually fun and interesting because it's kind of where connections start to realize that they've been trying to put a square peg into a round hole, right, with you know, horses that are trying to stretch out for the Derby and on the trail, and then they kind of end up bringing them back here and cutting them back. There's not really a cutback in here, so there's nothing to kind of get me leaning in that direction. So just give me the speed of the speed. I thought Pyron was impressive. Steve Asmussen did this, ran in this race last year with Matoli, who is going to be a top choice in next month's Met Mile. And I just think this horse is the speed of the speed. And all these races look like they're going to come back to closers, and they never do. They never, ever do. And it's frustrating at times when you find a good closer. None of these closers get me going. You know, I think Pyron's going to be my top pick. I'll also use a horse like Mal Pace down on the inside who from the three hole for Joe Sharp, who ran really well at Charlestown around the bull ring.
What I like, just to clarify my position, I don't think Pyron will be on the lead, but I love the fact that Pyron can sit just off. I think could get a really good trip, the right draw as well. Scott, what do you think in the Chick Lang?
Similar, but I'm going to flip them. I try to watch replays for these. Malpais looks like the most talented horse to me, but I'm always a little concerned when they're coming over from Charlestown and the fairgrounds. I mean, it's hard for me to get a great gauge, but visually Malpais looks the best, but Pyron certainly looks like he will get the best trip. So those are the two I'm using on top of a couple others because I think it's kind of an open race.
All right, let's talk about the Dixie, which goes as race 12, the return to the races of Catholic Boy. For me, I just thought Inspector Lindley fit this like a glove. and we have an opportunity here to maybe sneak away with a little bit more of a price than you would get because of the more famous rival to the outside, to the direct outside, as these two are posted in 11 and 12. Scott, who's your pick in the Dixie?
Back to my stable, Catholic Boy. I love that horse. All heart. I'm praying that he's crank enough to win this race. The post makes me nervous. I'll definitely be using Inspector Lindley. I mean, I don't see how you couldn't. But I'm going to try to get away with just those two. Catholic Boy is my top pick because I'm just praying the horse is ready. But the DRF comments, the track comments, and the what they're actually shooting for this year and the plan kind of make me nervous. But I love the horse too much to not use it. Catholic Boy is my top pick.
JK, what do you have to add to this discussion of the Dixie?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do if you're handicapping this race is you have to identify whether or not you believe that the prep for this race, the Henry S. Clark at Laurel back in April, is a good race or not. And if you don't think it was, which I don't think it was, then you can toss 33% of this field. Real Story, I don't know, what is that? That's you're hitting me with the mythology. Oh, Dionysus or whatever, Just Howard, Flash Phelps. Those horses are all gone for me. Give me the two classy ones. I want Inspector Lindley, Catholic Boy. I think Catholic Boy's 85% could be good enough in this race. And obviously, they're both not drawn well. But to me, one of them has to win. If you look at Inspector Lindley's PPs, you'll notice names of horses that would be like five or six horses in his PPs that would be odds on in this race. Those are the two for me. The rest of them look a little bit overmatched.
I thought for a second there you were going to channel your own personal Richard Grunder and absolutely butcher that name, but oh, Dionysus, I think that's right. So you pulled one out of the fire there, JK. Let's move on to the Grade One Preakness. Such an interesting race for me. I mean, I've seen a lot of people complaining about it. I don't really understand why. I mean, yeah, I guess I understand why. You don't have the top three finishers, and that's always a little disappointing. But in their stead, I think we have a deep and competitive and interesting race. I did a full write-up for this on attheraces.com. I'll send that around via Twitter or link to it in the Money Podcast blog. JK, you mentioned you're doing a write-up. You should give that a plug as well. For me, at the end of the day, I decided to side against the Derby horses in here. And call me a homer, call me a guy secretly rooting for JK's stable team in our Derby draft. I'm going with Warriors Charge as the best of the speed and to hopefully create quite a party in that tent on the infield on Saturday. JK, what is your pick?
My heart is definitely with Warriors Charge. He's a horse that I'll use. I think he's got a great shot. I think if War of Will is ridden aggressively from the inside, like I predict that he will be, I can't imagine the connections want to deal with any bumping and grinding in this race. I would imagine that Warrior's Charge could sit right off of that. And if he's good enough, which his figures and his last two performances suggest that he is, he could get a great trip and win this race. I think the biggest question, like you mentioned, is that not only did the not top three finishers of the Kentucky Derby not show up, and I'm doing the air quotes, the top four finishers of that race actually didn't show up. And so it's a little bit of a trickier race than we're used to. I'm a believer in improbable. However, I'm going to trademark a new word. As the old shooter coming into this race, I feel like he's going to be overbet. I thought he had a good trip, not a perfect trip. I think you think perfect. I think
no,
good.
You're right. You're right. Watching again, you're right. But it was a good enough trip, but it wasn't
it was
perfect,
a good enough trip. It was a good enough trip that if here's the thing, if he had a bad trip, I would single him in this race, but he left enough to be desired for me to use him because I think he's probably the most talented horse in the race, but I'm going to use other horses as well. I'm going to use the first inside five horses in the pick five, hope to be alive to a score. But I'm not going to be pressing improbable. My top pick is going to be Bourbon War. I hated the Florida Derby coming into the Kentucky Derby. Maximum Security and Code of Honor both kicked me in the face about that. And Bourbon War was closing into that slow pace that Maximum Security set in the Florida Derby. For that reason, I think he's going to get the pace that he needs with Warrior's Charge and War of Will and all these other horses that are going to be pressing that that pace. I think that Bourbon War could pick up the pieces late.
Adding blinkers for Bourbon War, which is interesting, and I could see sort of going either way. But I'm with you that he's certainly one to be doing a lot of stuff with. All right, we're going to do a very deep Preakness dive on the other show. But for now, Scott, I want to get your selection in this year's Preakness.
Final stable play and hopefully redemption. Once they added Mike Smith, they're just teasing me at this point. I mean, it's redemption Saturday for me with Improbable, but I mean, I'm not going to be as ice cold as I was in the Derby about it. I'm going to Warrior's Charge. I think it'll be interesting to hear Marshall talk about the horse, and I wish you guys all the best with that. The last race was extremely impressive. I mean, but the last two been on the front end, and it's going to be, if you to make the lead in this race, I think you're going to have to go extremely fast, which does set up interestingly for Bourbon War. It'll be fitting if IRAD beats me after losing on my horse. And I don't know what to make of Always Mining. But yeah, and probably my top pick, I'm going to use a little bit of Bourbon War, Warrior's Charge. I mean, Owendale was impressive, but I don't think Another Twist of Fate's that good, so I'm not sure what he beat. I have to look at this race more, but certainly most of my play will be going through Improbable, and just I just don't think he likes the flop. He's run pretty well in it, but he's acted up both times. He almost slipped over in the gate, two back, and last time they said he was acting up in the post parade. He's run well. He takes mud in the face fine, but I think if you look at Benny's trip notes, the first time he ran the slop said he might not like the slop, and I agreed with that. And now the last one, he kind of gave up. It seems like he gave up on him on his trip notes, but I'm just hoping that he likes a fast track a little bit more, and that should be what we get. So that's where I'm at.
All right. Great stuff, Scott. We're going to let you go. JK, I'm going to keep you, and we will quickly go over this Naira late pick five on Saturday. But Scott, always a pleasure. We're going to have you back on soon because you know how it is around here. No good deed goes unpunished. Thanks for your time today.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Cheers, my friend. All right, Jonathan. Let's go to New York, to Belmont on Saturday. We're going to start off with race 8. I thought this was a very tricky race. I had knocks on many more horses than I liked. And I just came back. It's almost like the virtual stable idea that Scott talked about. If I do the dive on a race and something isn't coming up, I'm just going to kind of go with a horse that I've liked and I've noticed positive things about in the past. And for me in here, that horse is number 5, Fleet Irish, who I just had marked as one heading the right way, had a nice run at the level last time, had a track excuse 2 back when he first came on my radar. I do not like, here's what I don't like, a late runner cutting back in a race without a lot of speed signed on, but I guess that's a tribute to how I feel about the rest of this field, that I'm going to go with number 5, Fleet Irish, anyway. JK, how do you see the 8th at Belmont on Saturday?
Well, I think a couple weeks ago we talked about the following the jockeys when the big guys head out of town. So that's something that I'll continue to do on these days. Manny Franco sticks around this time. He's obviously the leading rider in New York when, you know, Javi, Johnny, and the Ortiz brothers aren't there. I thought Papa Shot made a lot of sense. I like saying Papa Shot. It's my favorite game when you're at a bar. I'm pretty good at it. I have lost probably more money on Papa Shot than I have on horse racing, but I do enjoy it. I like the switch to Charlie Baker. I don't normally like horses that are coming off of Rudy. I think Rudy does a great job in New York. But this horse has, you know, he's got figures. He's drawn outside. Didn't break particularly well last time. Still find a way to win. Going 7 furlongs at Aqueduct. He's won at Belmont. I'm not crazy about the fact that he's run there 11 times and only run once, but I think he makes a lot of sense. The horse that you mentioned makes sense. Formal Start, drawn to the outside, I think is one, a big price that you can consider. And then one more that I'll throw at you that I'll be using is Analyze the Odds with Louis Reyes. I thought he made a lot of sense. I cannot pronounce that trainer's name, so you're just going to have to look and help me out on that one, but I thought the last race was impressive at 38-1. Got up there and got involved. Was beaten by 5, and now he cuts back to 7. And I think that he could be tough. He's won twice at the distance.
All right, lots of good thoughts there. I would play the pronunciation game with you, but I think given our time, we have to just move on to race 9. JK, we'll loop back to that one on a future show. And race 9 is a maiden claimer on the turf, and I thought that Grand Canal had a real opportunity to show a lot more. The Grand Canal, I say the name wrong. This is one who I think is going to show more early speed than the time form pace projector says. And I just like this pedigree. How about if we, now I'll do it. Now I'll do the, hey, I've done one breeding and sales show, so I'm going to talk pedigrees. Judmont blood on both sides here with Bullet Train and Empire Maker. Bullet Train, of course, the Frankel, one of the two Frankel brothers who we've been seeing a lot from in the USA lately, along with Noble Mission. Linda Rice thrives at this level. I was a little bit interested also in Painter's Prize back on grass, but somewhat concerned by the layoff. I'll save with that one, but it's the Grand Canal for me. JK, how do you see it?
A few flights to London, you're suddenly a Bullet Train, Judmont, Frankel expert, huh? Oh, my goodness. So you want to grab a pint at the pub, too?
With my mates, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Cause for Applause made a lot of sense. I kind of paid attention to that horse back in December. That was an unbelievably rough run race. Missed the break, came running fast. Christoph will do that from time to time. He'll start him on the dirt and then get him to where he ultimately needs to get him, and that's on the turf. The last race was good enough. He was beaten by three. He was, you know, you see the sixth place there, but wasn't far out of it. I thought he made a lot of sense. But the horse that I thought was interesting, and it's just a strictly a connections play for me, and that's Game Break. You got Kendrick Carmouche and Danny Gargan. When you have these kind of this is a no offense thing. You have these cheaper type horses. These aren't like bottom. These are 40 claimers. They're not embarrassing in any means. But Kendrick puts horses in the race. And when you have these unexperienced horses and these lightly raced horses, I prefer a horse that's going to be forwardly placed, that's in the mix. Danny Gargan is a very cagey trainer. And debuting this one for a tag is not something that concerns me much, where it might concern me with a Chad Brown or a Todd Pletcher. I think Kendrick will put this one in the race. I think he'll have an extremely live shot of getting involved. So the one you mentioned with your pedigree play, I have to respect Pete's pedigree play. So, but I thought Game Break was interesting, and you're not going to know a lot about him. The tote board might tell you a little something. And if you're in position, a trick when it comes to races like this that I would do is I would look at the double probables from the race prior to this, to have an idea of which one of these horses is taking money. When before you pop in your pick five ticket, you'll have some information of what the odds are going to open up at.
All right, let's move on to race 10. For me, it's Hayfield in here, coming off of two poor setups, wrangled back off the slow pace last time, too close to the hot pace the time before that. Your angle too here, JK, with Franco keeping the call, and hopefully can just work out a better journey. Carrera Cat, an obvious improving one to use as well, but Hayfield, my top pick.
Carrera Cat was the only one that I needed here. Very flashy with a surface that had some moisture in it going seven. Like the cutback to 6.5. 6.5 is a distance for me all over the country that I like to look for horses that can finish. And this horse did wire, but he opened up. He extended. He was clear by two, clear by four, clear by eight, clear by 10. So, yes, it was a wire job, and this is his second wire job in a row. But he's finishing. He's got fast numbers, fast pace. Rajiv Marah, I think, is a phenomenal judge of pace from coming from off of it. He doesn't necessarily have to be on the lead, but if he finds himself there with this filly, I think she'll continue to run a little bit. And I thought that her last performance was one that could give you a little bit of confidence if you wanted a single here. I wouldn't talk you off of the horse that Manny's riding in Hayfield, but I was drawn to Carrera Cat.
Okay, fair enough. Race 11, I like Stillwater Cove here, who I'm hoping that last race showed a little bit of a new dimension in terms of settling a little bit more early, because this is one who she had a lot of problems settling. If you remember the run at Royal Ascot, just set off on a torrid gallop, and there was a headwind that day too, and just, you know, basically blew the chance there. I think it's a little counterintuitive too, which is why I like it. I think a lot of people are going to see, oh, she gave up the lead in the lane last time at 5.5. How's she going to like seven? But, you know, for me, that's the old Andy Beyer trip handicapping angle of moving too hot into the fast pace. Maybe with a little bit more settle early, maybe we'll see something a little different out of Stillwater Cove here. I mean, I'm talking a long time about a 5-2 shot who's going to probably be the favorite, but she's the one for me. What do you think, JK?
I'm against two horses that I think will ultimately take some money. The morning line is not exactly low on Chad Brown and Seek and Destroy, but Seek and Destroy just never has really wowed me. And obviously the morning line and is an indicator of that as well. Pretty long break. I'm completely against Stillwater Cove.
Oh, interesting.
No offense to Wesley Ward, but his horses excel, in my opinion, at shorter distances. And we've talked about this on the show prior, but the 7 furlong distance at Belmont is one that I want a horse that has really good finish, who can relax and kind of get me home late. I just don't think that's how Wesley's horses are trained. He's trying to, if you look back at last April at Keeneland, his horse won going 4.5 and opened up by 5 and 4 and got caught late and has always been very involved in the race early. I thought Feel Glorious made a ton of sense here. With the cutback from 1 mile and 1/16, the horse will be finishing. Christophe Clement will get you a winner on the turf. I probably can't single in here just because I'm taking a stand against the favorite. But I love Feel Glorious, and I think I'll probably also use the inside horse, My Galena, who wired the field last time. I'm hoping that the inside draw in the presence of that other speed will get this one to take back a little bit and kind of sit that pocket trip and then have a little bit of run left. With based on the way that she ran last time. So those are the only two I need, and I'll just hold my breath and think that Stillwater Cove will come back when they get to the 8th pole.
Well, let's do a little head-to-head here. Maybe I can improve my record to 3-178 all-time. Stillwater Cove, Feel Glorious, if you're good with that.
I am. I am good with that.
I like Feel Glorious, too, a lot as a horse. I was just worried about setup potentially being so far back, at least when you look at the pace figures, but I mean, on talent, would be another I would use anyway, despite that criticism. But it's always fun to have you kick my head in a head-to-head, so we'll go and do that, and then we'll move on to the 12th race. I love the improvement that My Amangena showed last time for turf. Looks to get a good inside trip here for an underrated turf trainer in George Weaver. Just an unexposed type I really like in this spot. How about you, JK?
Yeah, for the sake of not repeating exactly what you said, I agree with all those things, and a horse that would definitely be an A type for me. The question I have is with like Bunyan Zacks, the figures are nice. 3 seconds in a row, is this always kind of knocking on the door? But then you start to get the impression that maybe he doesn't want to pass horses. He's one of those horses that I hate seeing in a sequence because you want to toss him because you know he's going to take money. But it's like, did the light come on? And are you going to be able to sleep at night to know you hit all these other situations and you let a horse that was knocking on the door with the fastest figures beat you because you wanted to try to be your hero and say that the horse didn't want to pass horses? So I'm going to probably need to use the horse. Another dangerous combination that I've seen, and I got to start programming my brain, Saratoga feels like it's right around the corner, is Cataract. With Eric Cancel and David Donka, they'll jump up and bite you at a big price. They've got a great relationship and they'll get some prices home for you. So he's a firster that I think I'll consider. Was entered for the maiden special weight and scratched that day. Now running for a tag could be a little bit sneaky, a little bit dangerous. I think those are the only three I need at this lower level. I usually look for horses that are dropping, and there's nothing that really moved me about that. I guess maybe the one that Christophe has, Sporting Art, who they started on the dirt, and now they're dropping, but the horses beat 50 lengths. You don't see that very often.
No, that is true. All right, JK, we're out of time, so we're going to abruptly end this edition of the Naira Betts Late Pick 5 podcast. I want to thank you. I want to thank Scott Coles for coming by. Most of all, I want to thank all of you for listening and tuning in week after week, asking us great questions. You've really helped get this podcast going off the ground in a really positive direction, and we appreciate that and look to do more of the same as we get into some beautiful weather here in New York. Gorgeous here today. All right, so what else do I have to say? I have to say that this show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.
I love springtime in New York, springtime in New York, I do. Springtime in New York, springtime in New York, I do.
Where you bet the Preakness on Saturday will make a difference in your bankroll. Our team recommends you upgrade to Naira Betts this weekend. where you can earn bonuses galore on Saturday. First, hit the Exacta in the Preakness and get a 10% winner's bonus. Secondly, play the late pick four at Pimlico and hit and split 3 million points. That's 3,000 cash value. Lastly, new members can sign up for Naira Bets with promo code MONEY and get a $200 new member bonus. Get your $200 new member bonus today at NairaBets.com. That's NYRABets.com. Promo code MONEY.